Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we continue this week to talk about forgiveness, may you open up our hearts, may you open up our minds, may you help us to tear down walls and reach out hands and receive hands reached out to us so that we might be a forgiving people, so that your will might be done in our lives and in the lives of all those you love. Pray this in your name. Amen. So this is week three of our sermon series called 70 times 7, which is a series we're talking about forgiveness. The last couple of weeks have been powerful. 2 weeks ago, Gene Bishop came and gave a powerful testimony about what does forgiveness look like and how do we do that. And we've talked about how to forgive and why to forgive. And I'm going to continue this discussion this morning as I get to talk with you about who to forgive. And the answer for this week is others. Next week, we're going to talk about who to forgive being ourselves, because that's also very important when it comes to gaining wholeness from this gift of forgiveness that we have. But this week, we're going to talk about forgiving others, because we all have somebody to forgive, don't we? How many of us in the last 2 weeks who have been here to participate in worship and have heard the sermons from the last 2 weeks have thought of that somebody that you need to forgive? Maybe you've even said to yourself or your pastor, I can't do it. I can't forgive. I'm not there yet. I'm not ready. It's too much. But shouldn't we have forgiveness on our to-do list? This is something we need to do. Not necessarily because of another person, because they need our forgiveness, although they very well may, but because we need to be a forgiving people. And when we talk about who to forgive, that's a good question. Others, obviously, we forgive others. But specifically, we are to forgive those people who have harmed us, who have done us bad, who have done us dirty. And also, we're called to forgive people for whom we hold malice in our hearts. Those two usually go hand in hand. We typically don't feel angry or resentful or bitter towards people who don't harm us, do we? Usually it doesn't work that way. Usually when people harm us, when people hurt us, either intentionally or unintentionally, sometimes it tends to create in us a darkness in our heart, an anger, a desire to get revenge, as Kevin illustrated. Can any of us think of somebody that we need to, that fits that bill in our own lives? I bet if we thought long enough and hard enough, we could think of several people who are that for us. People who have done something bad to us, who have hurt us, who have harmed us. And because of that harm, we don't like them anymore. We wish them the same to be returned to them. We hope that they get hit by a bus or, you know, whatever crazy thoughts might be going through our heads. We all experience this. This is human nature. This is part of the human life. It's part of walking around and dealing and interacting with other people who are just as broken as we are. We tend to step on each other's toes. We tend to offend each other. We tend to treat each other poorly. But it doesn't have to be that way. Well, we have to hurt each other because that's just the way it works. But we don't have to continue to suffer from that. We have an opportunity every single day to forgive. Here's the passage for today. It comes from Matthew chapter 5. This is during Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this is when, starting in verse 38, he says, "You have heard it said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." That seems like a tough thing to do. not eye for eye, tooth for tooth, not vengeance. We're not supposed to get even. We're not even supposed to resist an evil person. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. Maybe it's me. When I was a kid, you know, maybe 8, 19 years old, my church, we talked about this a lot. I don't know why that is. My particular church or the pastor at the time had a particular issue with this particular passage, but it seems like I learned that a lot. Turn the other cheek. It seems like that was a prime lesson of my youth. Turn the other cheek. How do you do that? Somebody slaps you, you just, okay, now hit me on this side. Okay, now hit me on this side. Okay, I'll turn around, you can kick me. Has anyone ever in your whole life ever turned the other cheek and let somebody hit you again without defending yourself? We're not supposed to do that, are we? If we watch any movie, we're called to stand up for ourselves. You know, put the other person in his or her place. Defend ourselves. Stand up. Be a hero. At least that's what we understand to be a hero, right? Somebody who gets even. Somebody who serves justice. I'm watching a series right now on TV on Netflix called The Arrow. Has anybody seen this? It's a comic book takeoff on Green Arrow. I don't even know what channel it's originally on. Maybe even Netflix. I think maybe CW. But it's basically, if you read the comics, Green Arrow, it's about a billionaire playboy who gets stranded on an island, and then because he's trying to right his father's wrongs, he comes back and he basically serves as a vigilante, going around the city, serving out justice. And that's, we love those kinds of stories, don't we? They're action-packed and they're dramatic, but they're totally against what Jesus is saying here. When someone does us wrong, when someone smacks us, when someone steals from us, we're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're supposed to forgive them. Is this instant forgiveness? What Jesus is saying here, he's saying, right away, forgive that person. Right away, do not react to the wrong that was done to you. Right away, choose to do something that is loving or against human nature or life-giving. It's like automatic forgiveness that Jesus is talking about here. It's something that we're just supposed to do. Not even think about it. Just do it. Somebody does this wrong. Somebody beats us up or terrorizes us. Whatever it might be, we're supposed to just respond with love. That is supernatural. And I don't know about you, but I can't do it. I can't do it on my own, in my own power. It's something that God has to help me with every single day. It's something that God does help us with. He absolutely does. When I was in junior high, I've shared this story before, but I have Tourette's, but as a result of Tourette syndrome, I got bullied a lot. And there was a particular young punk who bullied me relentlessly. Mickey Corpse was his name. I haven't seen him in years, and I don't care if you run into him one day. Tell him I said hey. But Mickey Corpse, C-O-R-P-S, and Colin, C-O-L-L, his locker was right above mine, all through junior high. He sat right behind me in homeroom, every grade, all through the school year. And every day, I go to my locker, I get my books out, I'd be getting ready to go to my class. He'd come up, slam my locker shut. I have to enter the combination again, and I'd be late for class every single day. He terrorized me for 2 years of junior high. I had lots of bullies, but he was the one that really just stuck out. He's the one that if I could have, I'd have hired a big old bodyguard and taught him a lesson. But then I grew up, and I went to seminary, and I decided to be a pastor, and I started serving at church. And a few years ago, my mom, who is an English professor by training, but she runs the GED program at the Lawrence County Jail. And she was there working in the library, helping folks, and in comes Mickey Corpse as an inmate. And my mom got home, and next time I saw her, she told me about this. You won't believe it. Mickey Two Corpse was in jail, and it's about all I could do not to smack him or, you know, something to that effect. And it amazed me because it had been, I don't know, 20 years since I saw Mickey Corpse. But when I heard my mom tell me that, I got sad. I thought, that's not good. I felt bad that he was in jail. And even though it was kind of funny, my mom's reaction, I said, "Mom, you don't mean that." I said, "There needs to be some forgiveness here. That was 20-some years ago." And I think she was, "Oh, yeah, maybe." But she was still fired up about this many years later. And I can say that I forgive Mickey Corpse. You know, he was a dumb young punk then. Apparently he's still a punk. But hopefully he learned his lesson. Hopefully he's grown. Hopefully he's matured. Hopefully he's not still picking on little kids. And that wasn't instantaneous. That wasn't automatic forgiveness. That was something I had to grow into. But it still was a good thing. It still had to happen. Because now, many years, I'm an adult. I've got kids that probably will get bullied one day. Or hopefully they won't be bullies one day. But this continues to happen. We continue to be presented with opportunities to forgive people. Every single day, we have opportunities to forgive people. How many times have you been driving on 465 or around one of these roundabouts and you get cut off? Or you get somebody doesn't let you over or let you in? Last week, I was driving around a roundabout. I don't remember what it was. And it's one of the ones where you got to be in the right lane to go the right direction. And I had my turn signal on, a good 50 feet before then, trying to get over. And this lady is not letting me over. She's right here. I'm like, "Let me over." And she would not. And then I decided to go around the roundabout and try again. And when she went by, she gave a nasty gesture to me. Like, "You're the one who didn't let me over. I should be mad at you." But I forgave her. Because it doesn't do any good, right? We can get mad, we can fume about that, and we can end up being a danger to somebody else. It irritated me, that's for sure. But there's opportunities every single day to offer forgiveness. What is the purpose of forgiveness? We've talked about this the last couple of weeks. But the purpose of forgiveness isn't so much because somebody else needs forgiveness, it's because we need to be forgivers. We need to let go of whatever it is or has been that has caused us grief or anguish or frustration or pain. Kevin, I'm sure when you finally let go of that, even though your pocketbook didn't recover, you feel better about it, right? You're past it. And the reason it's a good thing, the reason forgiveness is such a gift from God, is because it's only when we are forgiving people, or when we are people of forgiveness, when we are open to letting it go, or getting past whatever slight or whatever damage has been done, whenever we live our lives through that perspective, that is when God can do amazing things in our lives. When we strip away the pain and the hurt and the revenge and the desire to get even, it's then that the fields are fertile enough for us to sow good seed. It's then that we have a way to speak truth into other people's lives. It's then that we get to share the love and the light of Christ with other people. The blessing of forgiveness isn't that we, don't feel bad anymore. It's because God is a God of forgiveness. And when we forgive, we model that wonderful gift. We model the very essence of God. And when we do that, the gospel becomes alive. The truth of who Jesus is and what Jesus did and what he continues to do and what he promises to always do for us when he forgives us, no matter what we do, no matter how heinous or bad it may be, when God promises to forgive us and then we forgive others, it creates a a platform, an opportunity for people to understand the true God, understand the true love of God. That is the purpose of forgiveness. That is why we're called to forgive. And it helps that other person. Certainly it helps us, but when somebody has been forgiven and they don't deserve forgiveness, maybe they don't even ask for forgiveness. But when someone receives forgiveness, then that changes them too. If they don't know Christ, they're certainly going to get a snapshot of Christ through that experience. But forgiveness is a matter of perspective. It's a paradigm shift. Unless we can change the way we think about life, unless we change the way we think about the way the world works or should work, we can't really be people of forgiveness, because it really makes no sense in society. If everyone in society practiced forgiveness the way that Jesus is commanding us to ask to forgive others and to be forgiving, we wouldn't need courts. We wouldn't need courthouses. We wouldn't need lawyers. We wouldn't need a whole lot of things. It's a matter of perspective. Why forgive? What does it mean to really forgive? Here's another passage. It's a continuation of the previous passage. Matthew 5 continues, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Wait, what? Be perfect? Has anybody got that checked off your to-do list yet? Be perfect? So, yeah, gee, I already did that. I'm good. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Because Jesus is perfect, he wants us to be perfect. This isn't a hope or a wish of Jesus. This is a commandment of Jesus. Be perfect. I'm perfect, so you should be perfect too. That's what Jesus is saying here. Jesus could comment on his own passage here and say, in a few years or months, I'm going to die on a cross for everyone's sins. And you all are going to be forgiven because of what I'm going to do. Because of that, you guys need to do it too. There's a number of ways he could elaborate and drive this point home. But Jesus forgave. Therefore, we are to forgive. We say it every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is not optional. This is not something. It's not a good suggestion. This is not good advice. This is a commandment. We are to forgive. We are to be people who forgive. We are to be people who forgive no matter what. Well, really, what Jesus wants here is radical forgiveness. Jesus doesn't just want forgiveness that is easy. Jesus doesn't just want forgiveness that is sort of formulaic. Okay, you know, I'm not going to press charges, or I'm not going to hire that hitman, or I'm not going to, you know, ram your car. I forgive you. And then go on, and you still feel, you know, bitter or angry, but you don't try not to think about that person ever again. That's not the forgiveness Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about the forgiveness that when somebody hurts you, when somebody steals from you, when somebody murders a loved one, or when somebody hurts your child, that you don't just walk away and forget about it and not exact revenge, but you enter into a relationship with that person. You share the love of Christ with them. You pray for them. You serve them. You love them. If they're an enemy, Jesus said, love your enemies. I've been preparing this message for 2 weeks, and I still don't know how I'm going to do that. How do you do that? How do you forgive an enemy? It seems insurmountable, an unreasonable expectation of Jesus to forgive our enemies, no matter what. We can't do it. We don't have the ability. We don't have the amount of love or understanding or faith it takes to do this outside of Jesus. But through Jesus, not only can we forgive like Jesus, not only can we love like Jesus, but through us, the world can change just like it changed when Jesus forgave. 2 weeks ago, Jean Bishop, the author who came and spoke, told a story about when she struggled with her issue of forgiveness and the person, the young man who murdered her sister and her sister's family. And she was speaking with a mentor who was trying to help her get her mind around this. And he said, you need to forgive. You need to, basically, essentially, he said, you need to engage in radical forgiveness. And she said, sort of perplexed and in a way that was not willing to cooperate exactly, resisting this teaching, she said, what would that even look like? What would radical forgiveness even look like? And the mentor, the professor, said, it would look like Jesus on the cross. Wow. It would look like Jesus on the cross, who has somebody on their heart and on their mind right now who has done you wrong, who has caused you pain, who has abused you, mistreated you, and because of that, you hold bitterness, you hold anger, you hold resentment. If the person were here, you'd treat them like dirt. What would it look like to hang on the cross for that person? What would it look like to demonstrate such amazing love and grace for that person that the person could no longer resist the love of Jesus? They would be overwhelmed with a sense of being forgiven that it would change the trajectory of their life forever. That's what Jesus has done for each and every one of us. How many opportunities do we miss in doing the same thing for others? Let's pray. Dear Lord, you truly are an awesome God. You forgive us when we don't deserve it. And you also allow us and give us strength and give us wisdom and give us encouragement to forgive others when they don't deserve it. So that not just we can benefit and they can benefit, but your kingdom can be blessed. And that your name may be proclaimed across the ages. Lord, you truly are an awesome God. Help us to learn to love and forgive like you. Amen. Please stand. Let's sing together.